Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man with the beard so rich, so supple, so luxurious, your girl wants to use it for a throw pillow, I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
We're live. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I ain't gonna go no further. All our rocks. Welcome to the Mr. National Podcast. I'm Mr. National, my main man, P Double. What's up, baby?
Wow! I'm in the house. Ready to rock.
It's your house. I'm just a guest. I'm just a guest. Hey, listen, welcome to another podcast show. We're going to jump right into it. Something, P-Double, we've been missing, you know.
We've been kicking the can down the road on this topic.
Yeah, we've been blowing through shows, and this topic's been just getting passed over. No more. Not up in here, not today. The pass interference call in the NFL, they have chosen to review it, whether it was or not pass interference. P-Double, before I go on a little mini rant, I'll let you know.
You got some strong feelings on it?
I just think they overreacted to one play, that Saints play against the Rams, and
that changed the course of the season, though.
It didn't. It wasn't the last play of the game. The Saints had other chances to win that game. It was just a bad call or a bad no call.
So now they're going to be able to. It was a no call on a pass. It was clearly a pass interference play.
Right.
No
clearly.
Call. The rule says you can't. The old rule says that play happened the way it did. You can't review it. It's in the books. But now the new rule is we got to stop the game, review that play on a replay, and they can throw a flag on it if they deem it in the pass interference, right? That's the rule.
Right. Yeah. Or say it's not pass interference. So it's just
so I'll give you my quick opinion on it. I don't care. I'm actually old school. I don't like the instant replay at all. Make it, the refs are part of the game. Let them make the call on the field and move on. Keep the game flowing. Keep it moving.
Right.
But if you're going to have instant replay, okay, review the non-calls too. You know, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
Right.
I guess I don't have ambivalent. I'm ambivalent. I don't have real strong feelings on it. But I've been dying to know what you think of it.
I just think it's stupid. I mean, they overreacted. I mean,
so you don't think they should have changed the rule?
No. I mean, they had the they do the reviews for certain things, and that's fine. But now they just bring in too much stuff under the microphone. It's just getting out of hand. And it may run smoother than what I think or what we all may think. But I just think that because of one bad call, they did all of this, that's the problem that I have. The Saints and Peyton, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they were.
He's a squeaky wheel on that.
Yeah, what was that thing that they was accused of trying to kill Brett Favre?
They were paying off guys.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah,
screw
bounty gate or whatever.
That's what it was. Yeah,
I never liked that coach anyway. But
Sean Payton.
You know, this is kind of, I've been talking about this AAF for a while, which it just collapsed and folded. But I was watching games on AAF, which is the American Football, Alliance of American Football. It was like a spring league that they were trying out. And I was watching it on the internet, and it was almost, there was no replays, no announcers. They just, so you could see the huddle. You could see how quickly they had to call their plays and get out on the line and everything. And I actually enjoyed watching. I didn't have to hear, Troy Aikman, blabbing about, nonsense.
Joe.
Yeah. And I actually really enjoy watching those games. They had the camera behind the quarterback so you could see the play develop, you know, and you just gave you the sense of being at the game more so than now in NFL. It used to be a sort of a treat when you got the, you know, the replay. When I was a kid, I was they would do a replay, or they came out with the reverse angle replay. You know, you're like, oh, check that out. Now every single play, you watch the play happen live, and then you watch it two or three more times on a replay from a different angle. And every play, it could be 2 yards in a cloud of dust. Boom. And then you watch the replay, you know?
Right.
And it gets kind of just, you know, boring. Like, it's just...
The NFL?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like the game to flow, you know, keep it going. And give the sense that you're there or something, you know? But,
right.
But the way... So all these penalties and these, you know, now we got to review it. And they act like they're getting ready to make a Supreme Court decision when they, you know, all the refs, they come out and they talk for, you know, they deliberate and they got to hear the, you know, the witnesses and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like just, you know, you made like a decision.
Like the OJ trial, right?
Yeah. We got to have, you know, Exhibit A and everything, you know. You got to hear
If it don't fit, you must acquit.
I mean, come on, man. You threw the flag. It's a penalty. Call it and, you know.
And
drop
get
the
on.
Puck and let's go.
The flow of the game.
That's my opinion.
I mean, okay, well, my take is I don't like it. I think they overreacted.
Well, some people are speculating that it's going to really change the end of the game, like the Hail Mary scenario.
Nah, I don't think that. I just think that they overreacted to one play. That's my thing. I'm a quit that topic.
Okay.
Just like Magic Johnson.
Oh, it's a nice segue.
You like quit on the Lakers, huh?
Yeah. Just said,
how about that?
He said he did like Tom Cruise. Sometimes you just got to say, fuck it.
That's it, yeah.
Magic.
Hey, I kind of remind myself, you know, how can I say it? Magic reminds me of myself, or I like to. Magic just wants to be Magic. He just wants to be happy and, you know, do his thing. That job, I don't know, like, I thought that he thought that he could just magic his way through it and just, you know, show up and everything, smile and everything be okay. No, it's a lot of work to that. And,
it's a ruthless. It's a ruthless situation he's in.
Well,
that position.
He said he heard whispers. And it was backstabbing.
Well, you know you're in a tough situation when you start hearing voices.
Yeah. Well, Magic, welcome to the real world. You know, I don't know about your workplace, but in Constructionville, there are whispers. And there is a lot of backstabbing. But the thing in construction, no matter how much of a kiss-ass you are, how much backstabbing, eventually it's going to come down to your work. And if your work don't put up to what you talking or kissing ass, you're going anyway. So,
well, I think maybe that's the same situation that he was in. Eventually, it comes down to the wins and losses. And right now, the Lakers are putting up a lot more losses than they are wins, you know? So maybe that was, you know, that's just where the rubber hits the road.
Well, I mean, now the Lakers in a bad spot, I think. They just, well, not a bad spot, but they just got to, and also they split ways with Walton,
Luke Walton.
He's out. So
yeah,
that could have been part of the Magic. Maybe Magic didn't want to fire Luke, and they wanted to, and he just was like, I'm done with it. You'll never know the true story. That's why, I mean, with sports, I'm a little bit more involved, but, you know, PW, you say with all the politics and all the other stuff, that's why I don't get too involved, because you don't really know what's going on.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah, behind everything.
They only let out
what they want you to know. So.
Right. All we know is Magic quit.
Yes.
Right.
So I don't, you know, take that and then take, you know, whatever the Trump and whatever the politics stuff going on. That's why I try not, and I don't get too involved with that kind of stuff, because you don't know.
Right.
If it ain't if it ain't affecting me in my little circle, my little EF plan and my construction thing, you know, my Long Island iced tea is still strong at the pub, you know. So
whether there's a Mueller report or not,
that's it.
I'm so jealous of you when it comes to that. You just, you know, keep it keep it close and don't worry about all that stuff. You can't control it anyway. You know?
No, it's great. Can't.
Right.
What? Yeah, I can't. I mean,
very nice.
Very nice. Well, keep it in the NBA. We think of the playoffs. They got off to an interesting start yesterday. By the way, it's Sunday. The weather is beautiful. Okay.
Oh, man.
I think I have put all my long johns away.
Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah, we had like 60, 70 degree weather last weekend. We got snow today. So
what?
Yeah, Michigan.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
All right, remind me never to come visit.
Don't.
You,
yeah, dude. You wouldn't make it, man. It's not for the week.
Well, back to the NBA. The Sixers lost, and the people here in Philadelphia is just, you know.
It was a big game.
Yeah, you know, but their star player Embiid didn't play, so we'll see what happens when he comes back.
That's actually my team. I like the Sixers.
You do
this year, yeah. I mean, the Pistons made the playoffs, and that's my team. But I don't see them going anywhere, you know.
Nah.
But the East is much more interesting than the West. I'll say.
Than the West, right? Yeah. Golden State handled the Clippers yesterday.
Right.
I mean, it's Golden State's thing to win. So
right. But the East, you've got Milwaukee, you've got Philadelphia and Toronto.
Nobody's beating the Warriors unless somebody gets injured.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's kind of, and then they're talking about Durant's going to leave.
He probably will. He'll get his three rings, and then he'll probably just go chase the money again. So, you know, he did what he wanted to do.
Well, yeah, I think the East is interesting with Philadelphia, Toronto, Milwaukee. And I want to see Boston, make some noise.
Oh, that's my squad, Boston and the Spurs. I hope they do well, but I don't know. I just think it's a one-horse race.
Right.
What's more interesting, and I've been having a lot of convos with Shane Hooper.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Canada.
Yeah, he's feeling better.
Yeah, he's feeling better. Oh, much better. He's our hockey expert over there. He's been commenting on all the hockey posts and everything. So the hockey playoffs are a lot more interesting. My goodness. That thing can go either way. It don't. The rankings don't matter. You know what I mean? It's balls to the wall. every game, every puck drops, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We haven't done a show since March Madness ended, have we?
We didn't comment on the end.
No.
The Virginia versus
I want to just say my note. I know that wasn't on the list, but you just made me think of it. The NCAA tournament was bananas this year. Every game was awesome.
Every game. It was that's number two behind the Super Bowl for me.
Same here.
Number two behind the Super Bowl, as just excitement in sports. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And I know you're following the Masters too. I'm not, but.
Well, yeah. I'm in Tiger. Well, it's all Tiger Woods. I mean, it don't matter who else is playing. Rory McIlroy, Fowler, whoever, Leonard. It's Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. And probably they done teed off already. So Tiger is starting off with a good shot to win this thing. He's in it. So that's great for the sport. That's great for the ratings. It's great all the way around. It's like almost, I hate the Cowboys, but for football, it's great when they're good.
Right.
Same thing with the Lakers. They suck right now, but when the Lakers are good, it's good for basketball. So.
Right. Okay.
Same thing with. Okay. Go ahead.
Blah, 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 blah. We've been 13 minutes and 34 seconds into the show. Let's get the EF, baby.
What everybody came for, you know what I mean? And when you talk EF, you know, it starts and ends with the production of the Gridiron Buzz Network. And we have with us on the Mr. National Podcast, Big Daddy Roger Fisher, baby. What's up, Rod?
What's up, man? I've been sitting here watching 13 minutes of absolute bliss because, you know, if anybody, we've become the biggest fans of y'all's show, and I miss it, you know, when it's not there. It's my drive time entertainment. It's my 3 o'clock in the morning can't sleep entertainment. Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, Raj, I always wondered when people would listen to it and if they did to the podcast. So right there, Raj filled me in on something. When he can't sleep or when he's driving in, that's great. P-Double said he could be making love and he'll turn it on. I was like, wow.
No.
Why that far? Because, you know, well, we're going to leave that one alone for a minute.
Really? That's what I said. He didn't really say him, but he was just like, you know, guys could be listening to it while they make. And I said, man, if you got a woman that's going to let you put on this podcast while you're getting busy, you put a ring on that finger right away. That's crazy.
Kind of whatever works, I think, maybe.
Well, look, we got Roger here. We ain't going to waste no more time. The Buzz Network was at the Clash. Rod, you guys have been around quite a few tournaments now. What did you think of the Clash?
I think it probably ranked in the top, really top one or two as far as the competition that was there. It seems like we say this every time we show up. It's just kind of the star power. Kind of sort of started back in Chattanooga last year, and then it rolled into the championships in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That tournament was just like, I felt like I was back in the 1870s in the old West Town, and all the gunslingers.
They rolled in. Yeah. You know, you see it's the like, swagger walking down the hallway, you know, with the guys. Yeah, it's awesome.
We always try to make some kind of prediction kind of in our mind before we start. Just it's a fun thing to do, see how close we are in the end. And really starting in Chattanooga through Dallas and every tournament thereafter, and especially the Clash, it was just – it's impossible. I mean, I can't pick one or two favorites. It's got to be 8 or 10 favorites. And, yeah, and I said you could throw all the names in the hat, shake one out, and whatever hit the floor wouldn't surprise me to win.
That's a good idea. I like that. I like that idea. Now, here's the next tournament. If it's Chattanooga, I'm not sure if I can make that one. It could just be a blind $5 bucket thing.
Uh-huh.
You put all the names of the coaches in, and everybody put $5 in or whatever it is, and you pull a coach's name out the hat, and that's your guy to root for. Like, that's if he horse. Wins it, you win. But, yeah, your horse.
That's a great idea, but the problem is we're going to get into some kind of scandal where we're going to catch somebody point shaving or something. Throwing down to the $50 pot. Yeah,
that's why we keep it at $5. I don't think that pot's going to get no more than $50. I think guys would not shave a game, you know, for a chance to win $50, $60. No way.
Some of these guys are hungry. You know, $50 feeds you pretty good at the Ponderosa. Yeah. You know, so.
No. We spend, the guys, well, I don't play. Roger doesn't play. Roger comes to broadcast. I come to just do the national thing. But these guys are spending $700 when you think of hotel, flights, eating.
Right.
Okay? Let's say about $700 per tournament to win a trophy that you could probably get for about $60. So
the
thing of throwing a game to win $60 out of that pot, I just think it would just be kind of cool. Maybe for the guys that's not even playing.
Yeah, or for the guys that are, you know, are going to be knocked out considerably.
Yeah.
Early, you know.
Right. And something we started doing on the network, again, just for fun. I don't need Guido from Vegas Bookmaker calling me, but you know, we try to handicap games. Just Dustin's always good about putting out polls and things like that. And you know, the GBN Nation are right about 90% of the time, not only in their predictions of who will win, but the point spreads. And we do point spreads kind of just, again, for fun. And I put some kind of thought and research behind it. You know, I'm like, I'm not just arbitrarily pulling numbers out, but we're looking at past histories and matchups and things like that. And I try to get it close. But when Dustin puts these polls out, the listeners, the viewers, our fans, which we are now well over 1,000 fans, we're closing in on one of the largest or the largest EF communities out there. And we're pretty proud of that. I think the last numbers were close to 1,500.
Right.
And these people that are tuning in consistently doing a broadcast or a show. So
we need a round of applause. We got to hit the producer up, put that applause.
Bravo.
They right, bravo, salute, okay? Because like I say, what these guys have done with the broadcast and everything of it.
Yeah, that's why, awesome.
Yeah. They shut Stack when that showed down.
No. We're happy to partner with you guys and always cross promote. You're a huge part of what we do.
Shut it down.
Kind of, you know, I always say cool kids attract cool kids. So,
that's it.
When you come into lunchroom, you want to sit at the cool kids table.
And right.
That's kind of where we're at. And, you know, we're appreciative of you guys as well. And I'm sure you're probably going to ask me or interested in how we all come about.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Roger, that's a great question. Here on the Mr. National Podcast, first time on the show. I'm pretty sure everybody has, you know, have heard of the GB Nation. So without further ado, how you get there, you know, where it started, if you don't mind, please.
Well, of course, you know, a lot of people like to pat us on the back and tell us how great we are and all that. We're appreciative of the accolades like that. But I just like to tell people that we're just hanging on and trying to guide it in a general direction. It's really interesting that it's really taking on a life of its own, bigger than what we even anticipated. We kind of in the back of our minds thought that it could go this way. But as anytime you start a new endeavor, you have no idea. You just kind of do the best you can at the moment and keep moving mm-hmm. through the stages and see what happens next. But you kind of have to understand a backstory to the backstory. I played electric football since, like, you know, my story is not much different than most others. Played all the time when I was young, grew up a little bit, got in high school, went to military, shoved the game under the bed, that type of thing. And about 15 years ago or so, on a dare, we were all sitting around as a family at Thanksgiving. The games were the usual blowouts and bores. I don't know, you know, it seems like the Lions and the Cowboys always get that gig, and for some reason it's never a very good game. But we're stuffed full of turkey, games are boring, and just I went down the hall and pulled out the game board from underneath the bed, blew the dust off of it, put it up on the dining room table, and as a family, we kind of played the night away in a little impromptu tournament, and that became a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of brought me, myself, and the family in general back to the water, so to speak. So that went on for a number of years, and one day I was just doing a search online, like, I wonder if anybody else had that similar experience. And I stumbled upon, unbeknownst to me at the time, what I considered when I watched it, the professional ranks of what this game meant, and that was called the Bama Blast.
Mm-hmm.
And another couple of years later, it's just always that nagging, that urging in the back of your mind saying, I got to get close to this. And the Bama Blast was only maybe about 2 hours from where we live.
Right.
But we showed up one year. No teams in hand, no intentions of playing. We just wanted to be spectators. And we got sucked in so deep. Because every single player, every single coach that was in that tournament welcomed us with open arms and became instant friends and now to the point of family. That's really where we're at. So now you roll forward past that a couple more years, and there was always that urge for us to want to play at that level. And I'll be flat honest with you. I really didn't see myself locking in to the 20 or 30 hours a week of commitment and practice and getting to that level. I couldn't see myself doing that long term, but I wanted to be a part of it. So we showed up at Richmond one year, and this was, should have been about 2015, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we played in some amateur tournaments, kind of scratched the itch, but it was always, I want to go to the big boys room. I want to see what's happening on the other side of the wall.
Right.
Once again, we show up as spectators, got to the championship game as a spectator watching there. And I think National was like, I got to go, got to catch a flight, can't stick around. And he tapped Dustin, my son, on the shoulder, and handed him an iPad and said, I need you to film this. Well, now, Dustin's pretty tech savvy, and it didn't really shock him much to have that opportunity. But when he got in it, he got the bug as bigger or better than what I did. And we came back from Richmond, a 13-hour ride, and that was all the talk. How do we get involved in this to this level? We know we can't be competitive without spending big bucks, big time, big energy, but we want to be a part of it. So what evolved out of that was weekly production meetings, was notebooks full of notes, scribbled on the back of napkins at a lunch break, whatever we had, and we put this all together in this big portfolio collage, and we launched in Cincinnati that year with three webcam cameras and really, really poor internet in a dungeon of a gym that we could barely get out 10 foot outside the building. And about then and there, we come to a fork in the road that said, we're either going to forge forward and build this and set the limit so high that no one will be able to jump over us, or we're packing it up and going home right now. We're done. Take our choice. There's not going to be anything in between.
Right.
And so Dustin comes to me with a list, a grocery list of what we had to have. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the number was large. Very large. And I said, well, did we not make the decision a couple months ago with Cincinnati that we were either going to do it right or we were going to go home? He said, no, we said we're going to do it right. And so it's been camera acquisitions, sound equipment acquisitions, and we're not done yet. And our slogan, is even when we started, is you ain't seen nothing yet. And we try to jump ourselves every tournament. So nice. In Chattanooga, we got some new toys that no one's seen yet. Give you a little hint. It's called a Telestrator. Madden made it famous.
Oh, man. I'll
actually be able to draw on the screen because I do, Dustin does most of the play-by-play. I do generally most of the analysis and the color and the commentary. So I'll be able to draw on the screen, diagram plays, circle receiver, show where tackles were made. Yeah, so that's going to be one of our new toys for Chattanooga.
That's going to be awesome.
That is unbelievable. And talking about, you know, when I gave Dustin the iPad, I remember that. I remember this kid, he's like trying to get close because, you know, Vance, the way they had it, you were blocked off. They didn't let you too close, but because I was streaming it live, they let me up, you know. So I think I had to do a bathroom break or something. And I was like, hey, Dustin, he had the name tag. I didn't really know him that well. I do remember Dustin doing all the field cover illustrations. He used to make, like, right. All the field covers on Facebook. And I saw and the name, I remember him. That's Dustin Fisher. That's the guy that makes all the cool covers. I was like, hey, Dustin, you mind filming this? And he was like, sure. And he got right up in there. And to say that took – to where they at is just mind-boggling to me.
He'll still admit to you that, you know, he loved that day because it gave him the best seat in the house.
It did.
And it really was the match that started the forest fire, because from that moment we realized that that's where we had to get to reduplicate on air. And for those of you that have seen our broadcast, in fact, we go back and we look at some of the early ones and just shake our head and like, We were just a couple of knuckleheads with a couple of webcams trying to do something. And it's always a quest to get better. But that's where that spark come from, because we want to be right into the action. We have cameras now that I can actually pan. Well, Dustin can. He's all hands on the controls. I'm just on the mic. But he can scan the room and dial in to a field, a board, all the way across the room and read. Numbers, read names.
Or you can catch somebody sleeping.
Sleep cam.
Mike Turner taught us how to do a sleep cam, and we're appreciative of him. He set the bar very, very high. And sometimes it's a challenge to catch people on the sleep cam, but we always make it.
Oh, we got to do that. That's good.
Yeah, but we tell people, look, with these cameras now and the magnification and the clarity that these cameras have, you better make sure your sock stripes are straight. Because we're going to find you.
That's what
the sock
I call
top. That's the paint job, right?
Right.
Amazing.
I would say that's what I said. Stack with that show is. I'm like, we're just a couple dudes, knuckleheads, half shot in the ass, talking into a camera or iPad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people enjoyed it, and that's why we kept it going. And like I say, Roger and Dustin came on with their thing, and it was like, man.
Well, one of my favorite things that you say, Roger, on the show is, because I'm with you, like, you know, I play against, you know, the Hulk, or play against, you know, Frank Jacobs, and I just don't ever see myself being that good at electric football, but I love it. And so whatever you, however you can contribute to electric football, the hobby, whatever you put into it, you're going to get out of it tenfold, you know. And so this hobby, there's so many different ways you can contribute. So for me, I mean, just doing this podcast is, you know, part of the fun.
You're the part of it, and that's it takes a whole pie. It takes you doing your percentage and somebody else doing their part. And I've long believed that this is a hobby that you can't outgive to. No matter how much you give, there's always more coming back your way.
Right.
And this is why I invest so much of my time and so much of my energy. Yeah, it's about one little, you know, 1-inch little inanimate plastic guys. I get it. It's a competition. I get it. But for those of us that are there, last weekend was a family reunion for me. I get more hugs from the door to our table than I do if I go back home and visit my own blood relatives.
Right.
Guys, I mean, I hear from a good 2 dozen people a week to call me out of the blue. We're not, you know, you've progressed in a friendship when you're beyond talking about what brought you together.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right, yeah.
Now, sure, it's football, miniature football, electric football that brought us all together. But I've got guys we have lengthy conversations with every week, and we don't even mention football. We talk about each other's kids. We talk about how's your wife. Oh, your dogs are great. Hey, did you see such and such movie? That's when you know you've progressed. Mm-hmm. It's you can talk beyond what initially brought you together.
Right.
But it's always there. It's I can't wait. You know, these tournaments are spaced 2 months apart, and it's like going through withdrawal syndromes for us. What are we going to do for the next month and a half? Well, I don't know. We got Chattanooga coming up in a couple. Well, oh, thank God, you know, we got something going.
Now,
awesome.
Raj, that brings me to my question. Like, you guys are, like, how is there a cap? Is it a ceiling to what you're trying to do? Or, like a end of the road type of goal? Or you guys are just chugging along? I mean, this.
Well, if there is.
Worried about the salary cap. Do you worried about, you know what I mean, not being able to make it?
We go as hard and as furious as we can for every time out. And if you notice, we do as much or attempt to do as much for a league or even a solitaire player. We haven't really delved into the solitaire as much as I'd like. And even like the creators, the painters, the figure makers, the board makers, we haven't done as much of that as I would like. But we're eventually going to start trickling off into more of that. But if you've seen some of the stuff, I mean, look, we drove 1,300 miles round trip to do one game.
That's crazy.
Well,
that's insane.
It was even more special, the fact that it was one game. It put that much more hype into that game. And the one I'm referring to is Dr. Bob was gracious enough to bring us in, allow us in to do the Dallas MFL Super Bowl.
Okay.
Pat Morris. The game was classic. I mean, it just probably one of my top 2 or 3 games to even witness, let alone broadcast to. So when you have that situation, one game, 1,300 miles, it makes it even more, it's like it's really, truly a Super Bowl high. We look forward to doing that as much as I would if somebody would have gave me tickets to a real Super Bowl, because I don't know anybody in a real Super Bowl. I know
right.
I mean, I know of them. I see them
They
make commercials. Yeah, they're famous, maybe. They're rich. But to do it for somebody that you genuinely care about, all 1,300 miles clicked away pretty quick.
You're the Tony Romo of that game.
Yeah.
He showed up and, you know.
Yeah.
Listen.
I guess, you know, which my background of playing this game facilitates really well, I think, to being able to, and I'm a student of the game. So after I've called maybe 2 or 3 games or watched a couple of film on folks, I start picking up on tendencies. So that helps me a lot in broadcasting the games. I have a general idea and knowledge about how this is going to happen. I know it's going to be a run to the right or a deep pass or something like that. So I just kind of apply the same principles to miniature football, just in a smaller scale. But, you know, this whole thing, and I really think the friendship And like I said, some of these guys are more relatives to me than they are friends. But here's the real key, guys. Dustin, my son, and I get to spend more time together doing this. I mean, I know there's a bazillion fathers that would trade places with me. We're on the road together, you know, 5 days out of the month, sleeping in the same hotel room.
Anytime you could get one of your kids to say hi to you, that's special. That's special, right. You know, as a parent. To take a road trip with you is just at a level.
It's just awesome, right? Yeah. That's another whole level right there. That is. Yeah. That's quality time there. Yeah.
A lot of sons are like, well, my dad called me up one time and took me fishing, or my dad asked me if I wanted to go to hang out, you know, go to a ball game. And that happens infrequently at best. But we do it routinely.
Right.
I ask the question, how do y'all get along? Well, we do 99.9% of the time. But let me just remind you, he is my son and he's got the Irish temper. So every once in a while, we step on each other a little bit, but we figure out a way to come to common ground and make it work and move on. He has as much passion for this guys as I have.
Yes.
The only difference is he's got a day job and he's got to get the light bill paid. I get to kick back and play with my dogs and dream stuff up while he, you know, then when he gets off, I hand him the grocery list and say, hey, this is what I need.
Wow.
Raj is living the dream.
Yeah,
that's
man,
what I
want to
be. When I grow up, I want to be like Raj, you know what I mean? He took off the camera. He took us for a little tour, and I was just like, I just picked my chin up from the ground.
Wiped up the drool.
Right. I mean, we were talking about the clash. I wanted to give a shout out to Darrell, because that dude, that is the biggest, other than the world championships that move around from Texas. This year is going to be in Richmond. It is the biggest. And Darrell runs it. He makes it look easy. Okay? Was 45 coaches that signed up. Could have easily been 50, 58 if everybody that was there wanted to play. So, outstanding job there. Kudos, salute, the applause, everything.
Hey,
okay?
You just mentioned something that we do have to call out. The Hulk, who was on the show last week, then.
Yes.
So you won the bet, National.
I did.
But, hey, you know, everybody wins in that tournament.
But Roger alluded to it. You can't – it's hard to pick. We all tried to pick three guys that we thought that would win it.
Yeah.
And like Roger said, when all those gunslingers come in and they got their cases, dude, what's that? There's a lot of testosterone. And egos in the room. But I mean,
the horse trader, it's kind of took a life of its own. We started that kind of a spinoff of many years ago. I think it was Sunday Night Football, I believe, on Madden. And, they would have kind of an MVP of the game, so to speak.
Yeah, because Madden wouldn't fly. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Madden, right. Yeah, he wouldn't fly.
Yeah.
So we kind of started that. Anywhere we're at, that we witnessed a championship. In fact, I had this conversation with Brian Phillips that said, hey, the East Coast isn't on there. I said, we haven't been there when you played the championship yet.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, it slipped his mind that that's the criteria.
That's the criteria.
And, well, you know, this trailer is starting to fill up. And Norbert says to me, well, you're going to need a bigger trailer. And my response was, well, y'all keep winning and we'll keep getting a bigger trailer.
Well, here's my... Here's my thing. I want to do PW. I want the National Podcast. I want to start one of them GoFundMe accounts. Okay. And I want to raise money for the GB Nation. I want to have them a kitty of money in there to help them with their travel costs. I want to start that part. You know, that's our salute to what those guys do. The Mr. National Podcast. We're going to start a GoFundMe account and. The proceeds will go to the GB Nation and to get them to go, like, East Coast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
East Coast.
You guys donate the most. You guys get a lot of donations in. Maybe they can make the ride to you.
Right.
Travel is paid. Hotel is paid right out of the kitty from everybody that supports the Gridiron Buzz Network.
Right. So maybe we can get Elgin. We can work with Elgin and the MFCA on that or something like that.
Yes, I want to get that going.
Well, we're very appreciative of that. And you know, the question before was, you know, what's the limit? The limit is as much as we can do. That's the limit. We've kind of made a promise to ourselves that we never wanted to get caught short where, you know, there's a tournament next month and we're just not going to be able to make it. So far, that hadn't been the problem.
Well, that's what this FundMe account is going to help out with, because.
And we appreciate that.
Having you guys there is just like having rock stars. It's like having, whoever the top broadcast guys are in the sport. Yeah. That's what it's like. Them there.
I mean, it's hard to imagine that with EF what it was like before GBN, but not having you there at a big tournament is like it's not happening at this point. You know, guys have set the bar.
That's where, perfect.
Yeah, you know, where it's you know, it's almost like you have to be there. It's like it's ESPN. Right. You know, I mean,
and that's kind of how we feel too. You know, it's like wow, it hasn't happened yet. But if we were to get to a point that we had to miss a major event, that's how we would feel. It's like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be there.
Well, right. Well, you guys, I mean, the Clash, that's another feather in the Clash cap. They had the Gridiron Buzz Network. They had the National Podcast, Mr. National Day himself, and they had Electric Coach.
Right.
Mo Robinson there.
And Arcade Games was there.
And Arcade Games was there. Exactly. So they had the quadruple double of of what you want in your tournament. So
I put out a post about 2 weeks ago where I just sat down and tallied up just since the first of the year. We've done a little over 15,000 travel miles in doing tournaments. We, in five consecutive weekends, we were Cincinnati, L.A., Dallas, Atlanta, and back to Cincinnati, all in a five-week span. And that's coming home each time, not going from place to place, but that's coming back to home base and launching out of there. So it is a lot of travel miles. But we wouldn't have it any other way, really. And you know, we're on our agenda is to start developing more in-depth shows. Paul and I have talked about this a time or two about kind of documenting traveling around with a coach do a tournament cycle and seeing, you know, what they eat, where they sleep, how they prep, what do they do to their teams, the attitude going into the game. We talked about all that. It's just time and energy right now. That's what we're doing before we get to it. And, you know, all that's, like I said, we're just hanging on to the reins, but on the rocket ship, it's taking us to places that,
The playoffs in Cincinnati back in January, I got to call a couple of games with Roger and Dustin.
Oh, you got in the booth.
And man, that was a lot. Roger, that I want to thank, you know, you and Dustin for that, because that was so much fun. I mean, National. And,
we enjoyed having you, P-Double, but the problem is I had to take the mic back because you were, you know, look, I got to have a job, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I remember the first time they let me in there. I mean, I was like a kid in a toy store. I couldn't believe it. You know what I mean?
You get a telestrator in there, and I might go nuts.
Well, and I'm glad you kind of brought it up for that purpose, because here's what we like to do. We like to think that we're kind of in the business of making characters. You know, a lot of times all people see is that the high-level competition is a hairy forearm going across the cameras, you know, resetting an office or something. And you really don't know that coach by anything else, but, oh, they win a lot, and I know they have a nice wristwatch. I mean, that's all you can pick up on. So we're starting to get into a lot more face time on the cameras, a lot more backstory.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I like that.
And bringing you guys in to the booth starts to characterize and put a name and a face and a voice and all that together for our viewers. And this is why our viewership is skyrocketing, because not only are we the finest competition of electric football that the world has to offer, now our fandom is starting to know Coach as a person. And every time we show up on station, you know, we run live chat rooms on every event. and they're hitting us up. We want to see Hulk and Rafik. We want to see Frank Jacobs against. So they're trying to, the fans are trying to call the shots about what they want to see. And that's a good problem to have. Some of them realize that we're not the matchmakers. We only, you know, we have to play out the brackets. But the last thought I'll say on that is this, is every time you, you know, we try to predict for the fun of it. We try to predict. We think we're close. Every once in a while, I get really close. You know, my picks will make the Final Four or championship game or something like that. But what's interesting is since we started this, at every single tournament, we've had somebody come out of the blue and win this thing. Right. I did not know Mike Robertson even existed until I didn't know who that was. And the time, a time or two before that, out on the West Coast with Marty Thomas. Now, there's other people that have been around a lot longer than me, and I've been quite some number of years. But I have never heard of these guys. And so not only is it fun and refreshing to get a new name in the mix, these guys are going on and winning championships. And
that's cool.
We've got a couple of repeat two-time winners on the horse trader. Brandon Woodard comes to mind, but he's few and far between. I mean, he's like he did it once a year and a half ago and hadn't gotten back until recently.
Yeah.
So I think it's a testimony to how tough and how difficult this game is, just like the real big guy game, to win multiple championships, to be in the Super Bowl every year. It's just as edgy and just as tough in our sport as it is anywhere else, because if not, then our entire horse trader would be nothing but Frank Jacobs or the Hulk or Brandon. Or
yeah.
We've got 18 members right now.
That's unbelievable.
But it's still a very exclusive club. And the fun part about it is guys are they're now, that's the talk behind the scenes. They're like, I got to get on the horse trader.
I've got football.
I've got this championship, but I'm not on the horse trader.
Not on the horse trailer.
I'm on the horse trailer.
Right.
Did you know that, Nashville? I'm on it.
B-double is.
I went around the back door. I drew Dustin and Roger.
In fact, B-double is our only four-time. He's our only four-time recipient. If you look close, Do we tell him P-double where it's at, or anybody
trying to find it? Well, I'm on the broadcast. I'm in the red zone, so I mean that's good enough for me. I don't have to be on the trail.
You're going to have to work hard to catch P-double on the horse trailer because he is on all four sides of the horse trailer.
No way! I got to look at. I got pictures of it. I don't see him on the horse trailer.
Well, it's kind of a riddle. It's not.
All right. Well, look, I'm gonna find out. I'll find out. But for the sake of the podcast and wrap this thing up, we got to talk about that game yesterday that was broadcast on the MFCA. The Vikings, coached by the very own Smokestack, against Floyd Tate and the Rams.
What a game! What a game! I enjoyed watching that game.
Did you like that? Like I say,
first of all, I don't know if you saw it. I tuned in when you threw down matriculating and girded within about 2 minutes of each other. So I knew it was going to be a good game to watch.
Oh man, it was. I mean,
now you're going to cause me to do homework. I got to go figure out what those words are.
we oh my goodness, we had such a good time up there last night. Watching them two go at it. I mean, the pool people, it was a pool tournament going on. They came over a couple times like, you guys got to keep it down. Smokestack screaming, give Papa six. Give Daddy six. Go home. Go. I was like, dude, you keep it down for 95 yards. And he was screaming at the dude. Then him and Floyd was getting at it, going at it. You know, he tackled. He did. It was. It had everything.
At one point, Roger. At one point, somebody dropped the switch and the board turned on during the punt. they tried to put all the players back to where they were.
Right.
Smoke it was out of control.
That reminds me of a time when I saw Salty get his foot tangled up in the cord and stepped off and the whole board come off in the floor.
Oh, man. That was, I mean, and here's the thing. That game, one coach was 0-6, the other coach was like 0-5, all right? And the game came down to the end, and it was, everybody was watching it. It was unbelievable. We do have a Thursday night EF game set up that we're going to broadcast is the Eagles versus the Cowboys. And for our boy Kit Kitchen out there in Kuwait, we will broadcast that game on his ToePro Facebook account. Nice.
Okay.
So we're going to go live from ToePro's account on Thursday night. So we have everybody
that's one of his disciples. I'm excited about that.
Yes, yes. And I mean, Kit is a big supporter of the Stack with Nash show and the Mr. National podcast.
He's on every show.
He's an awesome dude. So I want to always show some love. So we're going to broadcast.
Before we go, too, I got to ask Roger if he can share with us. Roger and Dustin are going to be alleged to be in the Ohio Valley League in the fall. And I want to know what team.
Playing?
Yeah, they're playing.
I'm playing?
Yeah, that's pending the check clearing.
Yeah.
We can't have it, man.
They're going to break out the plastic.
Listen. It's like a pitcher, you know what I mean? Pitchers can't hit in baseball, right? Because they don't practice really hitting. You know, now if they took too much time practicing hitting, then the pitching go for. We need Roger and Dustin doing the broadcast. What are you guys doing getting them to play?
Oh, he just gave us an out, see? So if we like really bad, we can say, hey, look, man, we gotta concentrate on the broadcast.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys gotta understand, you're welcome to the league. I'm playing in it. There's always going to be somebody better, but there's always going to be somebody worse.
We're having the second game, the second date of the season for Ohio Valley's here at the house. And in the game, I gave you guys a little tour. It'll all be set up by then. We're going to do pancake sausage breakfast and barbecue some ribs for lunch. Oh. National, of course, you're invited.
September 7th, National. Put it on your calendar.
All right, I got to write that down. Let me put that September 7th.
But I will warn you, you have to get in front of all the big guys because there won't be nothing left if you fall in line behind us. So you have to be first in line instead of last, or there won't be no food left. Now, we'll make sure everybody eats. One thing we'd like to do.
That's a Saturday. That's after Labor Day. I got it. That's Labor Day's that Monday, that Saturday. And that's in Tennessee.
Clarksville, right, just north of Nashville.
It's the GBN Classic.
You fly into Nashville Airport, right?
Right. We'll make sure you get here Friday evening if you want to come in. And then Saturday morning, breakfast is 8:30 sharp, and then we'll start playing. Lunch is around 1 or so when we're good and ready, falling off the bone. But we'd like to do two things here around the South with our football. We like to win, and we like to eat. So
ingredients to a good tournament.
That's it. Yeah. You got to feed.
But the answer to your question, P-Double, Dustin likes to run with a combination of the Titans-Oilers. And I do my old standby Chicago Bears because I default, even though I'm a Titans fan, it's our backyard team. I let the boy have some kind of fun. But my Bears just play. I'm horrible at passing, I'll tell you up front right now, but I can road grade and play defense with the best of them. So if I'm in the game, great. If I get behind, you got me.
He's a ringer voice for Sam Elliott. Well, listen, this podcast has been one of my favorites. I mean, getting to know Roger and Dustin through the years, you know, them guys, this is like a real treat to me. The way they support us and the hobby as a whole. Serious about getting that GoFundMe thing account because I think that thing could help everybody,
right?
Because everybody wants to be on a horse trailer. Everybody wants them at the event. And this is a way that all their supporters and everybody that supports it could just chip in, you know. So I'm going to get that started as a tribute to them. And I think that's it for me. What we got, P-Double?
We're out. That's a wrap.
Hey, Roger, you need to add anything, brother?
No, I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. You guys are always two of my favorite people on the planet. And I'm still struggling with y'all side by side, figuring out which one's the best looking. But it'll come to me sooner or later. I'll have to pick one, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, look, I got my shirt on. That's what I do. I smoke cigars and I know things. And I know I'm with two awesome dudes right now. Folks, this podcast is done. P-Double. Kitchen, send us home.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnashow.com.